down to brass tacks.
Good
you're
morning.
On the air?
Good morning, David.
Yes, morning.
Now, let me wish you all the best for your coming new year.
Same to you and yours.
Thanks. Now, David, you know, I don't even know how to start my contribution this morning because there's so many things I had wanted to say to you until I heard the beginning of your program. I didn't hear your preamble for sure. But it seems now as though everyone believes that they should blame every single person, or indeed the government alone, for what happened. David, you can recall, you as a Barbadian, just like me, you live in this country for almost all your years. When this pandemic first came to this country, there was a lot of concern. And there was a team that was put into place to grapple this monster to the ground. And they did indeed a fantastic job. And at the present moment, I still believe that they're doing a wonderful job. Now, my problem is this. After a few reckless people went ahead during the Christmas period, and create the problem that we are faced with now, I am hearing a lot of nonsense coming from people as far as government handling the situation is concerned. It's blaming the visitors and everybody else. I believe that this is a time where every single man jack in this country need to come together and see how we can bring this crisis in under control. No name blaming. Because, I mean, when you look at this situation, David, from day one, I recognize that we would have had a serious problem coming on to the Christmas period. And in spite of, I now tell you there shouldn't be no name blaming, I recognize Swan Street. You know Swan Street as well as I do. Was a danger zone for this pandemic. I see when you first come off of Studio Street, to enter onto Swan Street, there was a guy there with a big cooler selling whatever it is in the cooler. No mask and shouting people face out if we want to drink. And from there on up Swan Street, vendors without masks.
Well, before you go any further, let me just tell you for the record that up to now I haven't heard that Swan Street produced a super spreader.
David,
you might have had your concerns, but in all of this, I haven't heard that. And I'm going to tell you that while I hear your perspective on it and what I said at the beginning suggests that there's more than enough blame to go around. I don't believe that you can single out one group of people in Barbados for this. And there are those who will say to you that government policy matters. There are people who have argued that by opening up the borders to all of these people, you then had to step up your whole security and your quarantine facilities and your approach to quarantine. They say that if you bring the people here who have saved up their money to come to Barbados, especially from Britain, there are some of those people who will say, having come all of this way, I am not going to stay cooped up in any place for 14 days. And therefore, even if it is fewer than 14 days, 5 days, 7 days, they are prepared to breach protocols. And the allegation is that some of them have done just that. That the security was lax, that we didn't anticipate this, and that this has helped to create the problem.
But you don't need to remind me, David. I observed all that just as you did. But what I'm saying to you, that our own people helped create the same situation as well, that you need to face up to. And start trying to make him believe that it's just the visitors.
Yes, well, you didn't
they'll contribute to con. I even a day before paper, I was most astonished when I see some of the mass fentanyl down the West Coast. So you don't need to remind me of that. I'm saying that we are all now in a situation and we need to grab with it. I sit here and you listen to you and you're saying that government seems to take the feet off of the brakes. You must remember, David, when this country first had this crisis, when the country went into lockdown. After a period of time, the people in this country began to get restless. and government decide to ease the situation whereby people just complain. They can't even go to the beach. They can't go to the gyms. And you start to ease it. And after that, people begin to get reckless as though we didn't have nothing in the COVID or anything else in this country. So you don't come and tell me about why government seems to take their foot off. We break to make the impression as though the government just went here and decided let people do as they like. That was not
well,
true.
You, as you see, you said that you didn't hear the beginning of what I said. And therefore, I don't think that my position is one that blames government exclusively. I say there's more than enough blame to go around. I spoke about the complacency that I've seen in Barbados as well. But the bottom line is, this is where we are today. We are in a dangerous place.
Exactly, correct.
And we now have knowledge. We are in a dangerous place. And going forward, to a large extent, it seems to me that we, as average people, have to behave as much as possible as if we were under lockdown.
You're making sense to me. Go ahead.
We are not. We don't have to sit down here and wait for the government to say it is going to do X or Y. The government has gone as far as it believes it can at the moment, because my sense is that they are trying their best to avoid lockdown. But that the underlying message to all of us is, we then have to behave very much as though they have imposed it. So if you don't have to do certain things, don't do them.
Exactly. This, correct.
And I can tell you something that I've noticed. Huh? In this environment, the people who operate their bars and that sort of thing need to be far more cautious. Because we are in a situation going up until 9 o'clock for the curfew, there are people who are trying to put as much activity in place between, let's say, 4:30, 5 o'clock in the afternoon and 9 o'clock as to possibly replace what they might have lost or might be losing between 9 o'clock and midnight. So there is this, what you're seeing it as you pass certain places, you're seeing this huddle and this rush to try to get as much economic activity in there. And to me, that is potentially dangerous.
No, dear friend, listen. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, you go ahead.
Now, look, I honestly believe, and I will say this time and time again if I had to, I have full confidence in the medical people who are dealing with this situation. And I honestly believe that they're going to bring this thing under control. I have that full confidence in that entire team. I think all we need to do is sit down, relax, do what we have to do, and try as best as we possibly can at this present moment to avoid going and doing things that we know we are not supposed to be doing. There's no need for this blame game now. And I find you had even the Democrat Labour Party first vice president. She's trying to make this thing a political issue, trying to divide a nation. There's not the time for this nonsense coming from Viola de Pisa. There's time when people should come together.
Don't get tied up. Don't get tied up at all. Because when you come on the radio and you praise the government for having done a good job, there are those who see that as political. When she makes her criticism, there are those you can see that as political. Politics is wrapped up in all of this. Politics is the reason why you have to be responding to the business community telling you that if you don't open up the place and if you do a lockdown, business is going to die. And as a result of that, you're going to have a problem with votes. Don't behave as though politics is not in this. You guys can be convenient. You are convenient with this politics thing, depending upon which side of the defense you sit on.
No, but at this point in time, there's nothing to try to divide a nation in a situation like this, David. There's no time for that nonsense coming from Viola de Pisa.
Listen, that's one way of looking at it. But the other side of this is, look, we don't have any one solution to the problems that we face. So the government could take a particular policy position. If this government were in opposition, it would do the same thing and say, look, the position that you have taken is not the only position that is available. That's not the only policy option. That is what this system is about, and it ought to be about that.
You know, unfortunately, the people need to understand that even if this pandemic had come when the Democrat Labour Party was in power,
it was sad that we would all be dead by now, for true.
Exactly. This country had not one single penny. You no, think? You think a, listen. You
so
think
let me
you
ask you.
Things?
Let me ask you. Is that political? Is that a political statement? Is that a political statement?
It is not a political statement.
Why is it?
Listen. We had a situation in this country where they leave this country penniless.
All right.
You want to tell me if we had such a situation that developed now? There would help the highly situation. There's nowhere, not a cent there left in this country.
Listen, let me say something to you. Look, you think you are your political platform right now, and I really ain't into that. I am not into that because you come to me talking about who is being political on one side, and you are more political than anybody else. Let's move on. Down to brass tacks. Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. I'm calling to ask a question, Mr. Ellis. Sure. In regard with this escalation in COVID-19 cases, does it have to do with the temperature?
Temperature? That's a question for somebody who is scientific, but I have not. I've heard a lot of discussion over the last months about temperature and COVID. Remember, in the winter, it was long anticipated that in the northern countries, those that are that have to grapple with winter, that there would have been an increase in COVID cases. All right.
Yes,
now we don't have a winter season here. We are in the tropics, and I don't know that there has been any link between any increase in COVID and the climate in Barbados. The link has been that Barbados brought people, not only tourists. A lot of Bajans come home too. And this thing about just blaming tourists is another one of those things that I don't think is fair and reasonable. Bajans have come home from those places as well. And, you know, they're vulnerable. So it has been linked to that and not to the weather.
Well, okay, fine. But what I was saying, because in light of that, I remember Minister of Health, Jeffrey Bossy, he was saying all along the way, no retreat, no surrender. Even when they had conference, never once did I hear him defer from that. So to hear now, to cast all the blame upon the government, I believe, yes, they should take some, because I think they should listen to the medical practitioners. But however, I found that they have been doing their part, keep reinforcing this statement all the time. You know, and even when at a point in time, they were under pressure to open back up the country. I remember hearing earlier on, Ms. Decided saying, asking you three questions. And the first question she was asking about the pay. Who going to get paid for the first 2 days? She didn't ask, well, how the country going to fare, how the people and stuff like that. The first thing she asked was about money. So everybody, even down to the layman, just asked about money, seek about money. And this government, to me, was pressure to open up the country. I believe, I might be wrong, but even where flights are concerned, there might be pressure in that area too. The social partnership, I thinking that they had a lot to do with it. I think they can come out and say something as well. But all the blame is cast on the government. That's just my 5 cent worth, ma'am. Sir, sorry. Thank you.
Yes, down to brass tacks. We had a slight break in transmission there. I do apologize for it. I was listening to this lady just now who was talking about the extent to which the government was pressured into reopening the country. My recollection is that from the very beginning of this crisis, the government of Barbados was reluctant to go in the direction of shutting down the country, reducing business activity. And it was the airlines that stopped coming to Barbados that caused the halt in our tourism activity at the time. It is evident. I mean, this is a question of what lessons have we been able to learn from this process. We were doing fairly well when we didn't have as many planes coming to Barbados. Our system was not going to be tested in those circumstances. It is when you open up and far more people come. That is when you are going to find yourself now in a situation where all of your systems are going to be pressured. And that is what has happened to us. And, you know, the security issues, people coming to the country, coming out of quarantine, You heard this talk about people scaling walls and that sort of thing. Some story about two tourists who took a prostitute into the hotel, and all of these types of things are going to happen because you have far more people to deal with. And some people are disciplined and some people are not. So what we have to grapple with right now is, in light of all of that, in light of the fact that we still have tourists here, because all this lockdown that you people talking about, it ignores the fact that they got people who paid the money to come to Barbados and who are going to feel particularly aggrieved if they are now thrust into a lockdown, especially if they have been through the tests and have been negative. So I believe you got to understand the kind of dilemma that the administration is faced with. The best possible steps that I see would relate to the security. And you heard the government talk about these bracelets that they are introducing to better monitor the position of people who are supposed to be in quarantine. And then what are you going to do about the testing and the number of days? Because we all go back to this thing where internationally the quarantine period, the incubation period is 14 days. So, I mean, how are we going to grapple with that in circumstances where it appears to many people that we've kind of cut short the 14-day period to appease the visitor? This is down to brass tacks. Hello.
Good morning, David.
Morning.
Yes, sir. Before the last person spoke, I want to continue with the person before him and to back up what he is saying. The geopolitical lock that Barbados has found itself in, and the last statement that you have made relative to what the lady was saying about the lockdown and the planes stop coming, and then all of a sudden the planes decide that they were going to come. Geopolitically, the Barbados government had no choice in the matter. As you are rightly saying, there are people that are coming from all over the world that over the years bought second homes in Barbados, that in the first instant they had to be spending a considerable amount of time in Barbados in order to purchase land, buy a second home, and those of us in that industry would know how that system works. So as you rightly say, there have been a lot of Bajans, in inverted commas, coming to Barbados that the government has no choice but to accept, because in fact they are Barbadians and they have second homes here, and so on and so on and so on. Now, the guy spoke, let me just back up a little bit. The guy spoke about the geopolitical lock where China would be selling vaccines. Compare that against India that wants to start to the vaccines that they're producing. They want to give them in short to their citizens first before they sell them to anybody, and to a wider extent, Germany. What these countries have in common is that they are not in tune with how Britain and United States and Canada operate in this geopolitical lock. Barbados has aligned itself with America. When America has a coal, Barbados is catch pneumonia. And that's exactly what we are seeing happening. When we sign on to free trade with the Americas and so on and so on and so on, we cannot go outside of the norm and decide that we're buying our vaccines from any and anybody that might have them to sell. So this is what happens in a geopolitical lock that Barbados has found itself in. Similarly, if we fast forward in, when the people decide that they ain't coming, the planes ain't flying, the ships not sailing, geopolitically again, Barbados is compelled to open the borders. They have to open the borders to almost everything a part of the free trade, the Americas is concerned, in order to allow the people to come down. The problem with it all is exactly this. The management of the people that come into Barbados is, I think, where we should focus our attention. And as everybody is saying, there's no one devil in this disguise. There's no one devil. When Barbados shut the country down, and as some people rightly say, it was pressured to open back the country, what people have to understand is that there are a lot of small people. There are more poor people in Barbados than rich people. If we have a population of almost 300,000 people, at least 250,000 of those people would be categorized as poor. Even more, that is work from paycheck to paycheck or from day to day in order to be able to eat. And government in itself has to be cognizant of that fact. Therefore, government wasn't pressured, as people would want to say, to open back the country. The government was satisfied that the measures that they put in place, Barbadians in general were adherent to those measures, and the government saw it possible to reopen the country. Nobody in Barbados, except for the ministers and the medical people and the private sector, can influence what government does in the sense of whether they do or don't. That is a policy decision that the government makes with all the stakeholders, and a decision is made for the population of Barbados. Again, what the government needs to do now is pay more attention and really buckle down on the tourists that come to Barbados and how they treat those tourists against the population. That is
I want to draw to your attention a story that was carried some days ago. It said that the Barbados Association of Medical Practitioners called on government to increase the quarantine period from 5 days to 7 for travelers coming from the medium to high-risk jurisdictions. The BARMP statement read, travelers from all high to medium-risk countries should present a negative PCR test on arrival and undergo quarantine for a minimum of 5 days after arrival and up to 7 days depending on assessment of pre-travel risk of exposure. The release from quarantine should be dependent on obtaining a negative PCR test at the end of this period. And it went on to say, intense monitoring for symptoms should occur for 7 days after arrival. But when asked by journalists about the suggestions put forward by BARMP, the health minister flatly said they were not being considered at this stage. Lieutenant Colonel Bostick said, at this stage, we do not see a need to change the quarantine protocol. But if things change, because this is a dynamic situation, then we will adjust accordingly. But at this point in time, no. He added, it is not being actively considered. Let me say, we welcome the participation of the Barbados Association of Medical Practitioners within our Health Emergency Operations Center. They are represented there, and these matters are discussed at that level. Several weeks ago, I would have had a meeting with representatives from the World Health Organization and PAHO dealing with these matters, and BARMP was welcomed to participate in that meeting. This discussion was held by WHO, and they have basically endorsed what we are doing, because what we are doing is following the science. And we take guidance from the World Health Organization. So you hear what happened there?
Yeah.
The World Health Organization say one thing. The people who are on the ground here recommend something else.
And the government goes with them.
They sided with them. Now, the question is this. Go ahead.
Go on, David. But let me put this here in a little more perspective, because I don't think that our Prime Minister is big-headed in this situation. And I'm saying that in a good way. I think she has on a good head, but some things are falling by the wayside. You have a situation where not so long ago, the Prime Minister came to the air. And she was very, very disturbed about the volume of people that had died in America at that point. Almost 250,000 coming up to the mark of almost the population of Barbados. And she said to Barbadians, continue with the protocols that we put in place. So then, David, it would be fair to say that we as Barbadians did all that we could in order to circumvent what was happening. I don't even want to call this thing, because I got a different view that I don't want to expound upon. But this pandemic that is upon us, I won't call it a virus. And why I use pandemic as opposed to virus, this thing that they're calling a virus, they have not been able to separate it from what is happening in order to deal with it directly. Therefore, that is why the problem with the vaccines and so on that are going on, you have situations where 360 to 370 million people live in America. And almost half of the population in America decide that they're wearing a mask. You got another 10 million or so people in England, that almost half of the population ain't wearing a mask. The different contrast in the two is that Boris Johnson shut down England, shut it down. When they want to wear a mask, okay, no problem. Boris Johnson shut it down. But he couldn't make that decision. Just give me 1 minute, David. He couldn't make that decision unless the country could economically take the risk. Economically, Britain, as the financial capital of the world, can do that. The problem in America is something else different. And what we're dealing here is with numbers. N-U-M-B-E-R-S. Numbers. Numbers. You have societies with vast amount of people. That if 1 million people dead, they can really miss nobody. Our prime minister was livid about what came home to her as it might relate to when America had lost almost 250,000 people. You could imagine that almost the whole population of Barbados dying out. Management of this thing and the problem, Colonel Bostick, respectfully so, I urge him to work with BAMP and what the medical science is saying on the ground in Barbados, because geopolitically, we are in that geopolitical lock. Dealing with world.
Yeah, all right. Let's cut to the chase on this geopolitical lock. But let me ask you something. You know, what is the mandatory quarantine in the United States and Britain right now? You know,